My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good afternoon. Welcome in to WEEI Afternoon. Chris Narkin, Andy Hart. We are live out in the wild today, which is very exciting as we are here at the Fours. Sponsored by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins, featuring Jameson Black Barrel and Jameson Orange specialty cocktails. How you doing, Andy?
I am tremendous on opening night. We're just gonna like.
I think I just blew out the speaker.
Yeah,
by
you,
the way.
You came in hot.
I'm excited. I like being here. Every time we come to the Fours, we always have a great time.
Okay, well, hopefully it's, we can recreate that a little bit. But no, I think this is reset night. Reset opening night. We're just going to pretend that the opening night in Florida never happened.
That is correct. And I just said the Fours. I meant to say Scores. Used to be the Fours. Now it's Scores. I knew that. And we've been here several times, and we always have a great time. Usually we're upstairs. Usually they pop us upstairs here. But today we are front and center. We're right at the bar. And if you come on down here today on your way to the garden, make sure you come over and say hi. We'll be here all day until 6 o'clock. And yes, I agree. Today is a great time for a reset. This is when you it's like that first game didn't even happen.
Nope.
That first Panthers game didn't happen. And I just assume forget that that game happened, because that game was brutal. I complained about it for about 3 hours yesterday, and I'm all done doing that. We're turning the page, and now here we are with our real goaltender, Swayman in net tonight, which that is official, as the Bruins now look for their first win, their first home game here against the Montreal Canadiens, a team that was no good last year, obviously. And there's expectations now. I think that with Swayman in the game, and now officially your main guy, starting on his big contract here, the expectations of that I think are interesting. There's some line changes that we're already seeing now as a couple of guys hitting the bench after, I wouldn't say particularly auspicious starts in Florida the other night, but we'll get to those as well. Some new changes here on this roster, I think, Andy, are worth getting into, because you heard Montgomery say this, and it was pretty interesting to hear him say it on night one. We looked really slow out there.
Yep,
we looked slow against the Panthers, who aren't exactly. I mean, they're faster than you, but they're not known for that. They're kind of they got some fast guys on that team, but they're known for being sort of tough guys, getting under your skin, skill guys, things like that. The Bruins did look slow. And they kind of, in the offseason, made a point of getting a little slower. They got bigger. They got these big guys. They brought them in. They wanted to do that in order to compete with Florida and compete with these other teams that push them around in the playoffs. And they went to Florida, and they got pushed around. Now, listen, I don't know what's gonna happen here tonight against Montreal, but I'm interested in seeing if this new-look Bruins team is going to be able to adjust to that, because I thought they looked very much out of sorts. They looked like a team without really much of an identity, and I know it's just the first week, but there's a lot of guys here who are carrying over from years prior who know what it's like to play on this team, to play with these guys. There's some new guys out there now for sure, but your core is largely still intact here, and it didn't look that way opening night.
Well, I think some of that can actually be, you know, part of the Swayman thing.
Yes.
You know, you don't have your number one goalie out there. I think it's, I mean, it's not unlike Drake May. We'll get into him later and the energy we expect him to inject into the Patriots, but when you have your franchise goalie, that's different, right? There's just a different feeling, a different air. And I know Fluto wrote a story on The Athletic saying, you know, Korpisalo wasn't bad. I think his lead was something to the effect, he gave up 6 goals and he still played well or something like
okay.
that. And so it was sort of a film breakdown of how he wasn't the only problem, that it was a total system failure. The team didn't, but I would rewind that and go back to, they didn't have it. Whatever it was, they weren't ready to go. I told you, I didn't think Montgomery did a very good job, flat out, having his team ready to go and not having them out for the ceremony.
Right.
I thought that could have been a valuable slap in the butt to get them going this season. And it looked like a team that needed a little kick in the rear to get things moving. They never got it going. So now you come home, you have your goalie in the pipes, you're facing a team on back-to-back in the Canadiens. They got a 1-0 win last night, so you should have a little bit more energy than they have. I think all signs point to, if we're having this same conversation on Friday about kind of lackluster effort, you know, you look slow, you look lethargic, then we might be talking about, is this a problem with this team and the way it's built and the personnel?
Yeah, and the coaching, too. I mean, you can't get your team ready for the first two nights of the first two games of the season, which, again, I know there's 80 more to go here before you start jumping. Oh, well, Arkin, you were all upset yesterday. I'm still upset by that game. I did not like that game. That's the first time you're going to see Florida, and you'll see them again very soon here. But those games, there's going to be a big spotlight on those games between the Bruins and the Panthers. That's the reigning champions, by the way. I think they're playing against Allmark tonight, which will be interesting. Mm. And they've got a target on their back, and you should be aiming for them. And it didn't seem that way. It seemed like the other way around. It seemed like they were all over you and had a score to settle with you and not the other way around. And I thought that was disappointing. You know, I'm not expecting the Bruins to win every game this year. I'm not expecting them to take home, any President's Trophy or anything like that. I'm not expecting it. It could happen. But, like, this is to me, the first impression of a new-ish looking team with big guys and guys that were supposed to come in here and sort of set a new tone and set a new standard, I think, and not let their guys get pushed around. And they were getting pushed around again, and the only time they really retaliated was to slash the referee, and that's really it. Max Jones, by the way, is out tonight. Maybe that's why, because he hit the refs harder than he hit any Florida Panther. But that's one of many small line tweaks that Jim Montgomery has for the team here. We'll get into those in just a minute. We saw Fluto's lines from this morning, and they're a little bit different from what we were looking at in that first game. The main one and the main thing that sort of sticks out to me when I look at the top six, and I also look at sort of the things that they did in the offseason, is Morgan Geeky up there on that second line on the right with Coyle and Marchand. And I look at that because between Danton Heinen and Jake DeBrusque, I know they weren't both on the right, but, like, these were some of your top six wingers, and they're gone. And you didn't really replace him. You brought in Lindholm, and I think Lindholm's going to be a good centerman, and I'm already liking what you get with him.
Yep.
They scored a goal off that face-off win, that Zaka goal in the first period, and I think already you're starting to see that this guy can play, and he's going to develop a chemistry with Pastrnak. All that, I think, is going to be fine. But in terms of your secondary scoring, which has always plagued this team, they make moves at the deadline, but in general, they go into the season. This is a problem for them. And I think that looking at this roster right now, if I was to predict something that's going to come up here in the early, weeks and months of this team, it's probably that. Morgan Geeky, that's a lot of pressure on him. He had a good year last year, 17 goals, whatever it was. I liked what I saw from him, but you're putting a lot on him now to go up there on that second line with those two and expect to produce that much. And again, I mean, you're talking about replacing DeBrusque, Heinen, not super productive guys, but guys that you could count on for certain things. And I'm just not sure what you can count on with Geeky right away.
Secondary scoring, primary scoring, I think scoring is going to be a question that this team faces.
Yeah.
Like, they're supposed to be built around their goaltender. You now have a $66 million goaltender, and your defense, right? You're supposed to have top to bottom one of the best core of defensemen in the NHL. And on opening night, you gave up 6 goals.
Yep.
And your goalie wasn't out there, so that's part of it. But I also don't think the defense was very good. And I don't think they're going to win a lot of games because they outscore people. You're going to need to score enough to win. You're going to need to score enough goals with Swayman, and that's why I think that's huge. I also think it's huge for Swayman to get in front of the home crowd, play well, and just start whatever that rehab process is with his relationship with some portion of the fan base. And I don't even know how big. I don't want to be overdramatic and like, half the fans hate Swayman because he was a dink in the go. No, I don't think that's true. But we saw that one sign was like, take it or leave or whatever. Take the $64 million or get out or go
home. I thought
that
was you at the game holding up that sign.
Basically, that was my mentality. And he got 66. That's fine.
Right.
And
in your face, sign guy.
And if it's 10% of whatever, I also think that 10% will love him again if he goes and pitches a shutout tonight. Like, we are, I always say we're simpletons.
We are.
Whether you're Manny Ramirez,
I definitely
like,
am.
Whatever. Go hit 30 home runs and be a dink as long as you hit your 30 home runs. Go save, stop pucks, and as long as you're doing that, we won't care that you had these smarmy comments about business school at the University of Maine. Everybody will move on.
And smarmy comments, I mean, listen, you have a right not to like those, but it's not like he did something bad. It's not like he committed a crime.
Right.
He just wanted more money, and he held out for it, and he missed the preseason, and we'll see if that actually plays a role or not. If it does, if he goes out there tonight and he stinks, you have every right to say, hey, you know what? You should have been there. You should have negotiated but still been on the ice and gotten ready and been there with the team. That's all fair, and I don't know exactly how much of that you could really do, but you can still work out and be a part of it and get yourself prepared for the season. If he doesn't look like he's prepared, I'll have the same sort of vitriol for him that I had for the team opening night when they didn't look prepared. You got to be ready. The season started here. We're underway. Things are moving, and I don't want this team to get off to a lousy start. I just think that, the early parts of the NHL season anyway, with all that's going on in the NFL and sort of all this other stuff, you tend to sort of table that. In the right. NBA, too, I think, yep. like early season on a long season with a lot of games, that happens in baseball, pretty much everything except the NFL, you tend to sort of, you know, put – I'd hate to see that the Bruins get off to a lousy start and then not be in that mix when it comes time to really shine the spotlight on the winter sports. Like, that's what I like to see. The Bruins are usually have their act together by then, but they also don't get off to lousy starts like this. So we'll see what happens tonight.
But you also have reason to be just, you know, as a home crowd to see the new version of your team,
yeah.
right? The goalie, but also Lindholm, Elias. Like, that's a big signing.
Definitely.
That's a big, that top line, like putting him in the middle of that and watching whatever rapport and relationship he's going to build with Pasta, who, I mean, should be one of the best scorers in the NHL year mm-hmm. in and year out, right? Like, that's yep. that's what he is now. So you have reason to see how those relationships grow. And then the secondary scoring, okay, if you get that, that's going to be – that'll be the icing on the cake. Because I think if you get – if that top line does what it's supposed to do, what it's paid to do. I mean, there's a lot of money on that top line.
Yep.
If that top line does what it's supposed to do and the guys in the back end and the goalie does what he's supposed to do, if everybody kind of plays to their paycheck, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? But the question is, will they play to their paychecks?
That's a great question, and I think the main one right now is on the defensive side because, as you said, and as we pointed out more than once here, that's where they allocated a lot. They really wanted to shore up their defense, and then that first game, the defense looked brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. Turnovers in their own end, bad breakouts, just getting annihilated by that Florida forecheck, which I don't expect Montreal to walk into the Garden and do tonight,
right.
but it's just something to keep an eye on. Already, Jim Montgomery, and he did say he wants to get guys in early and get everybody a little ice time early on in the season. Already, he's made some moves. You remember in the first game, the defensive pairings were Lindholm, McAvoy, Lauri and Carlo, Zadorov, and Peak. This morning, according to Fluto, it was Zadorov, McAvoy, which is going to be the, well, I don't know if it will be or not, but that's who was skating in the morning on the top D pair. Then Lindholm, Carlo, Wotherspoon and Peak, Lauri and Mitchell. So we'll see if they mix and match any of those names there. We'll see who comes in and who doesn't. On the forward lines, you had Zacha, Lindholm, and Pasternak up top, Marchand, Coyle, and Geeky. Then Tuft, Frederick, and Brageau. Beecher, Kostelec, and Koepka. And then Jones, Patras, and Johnson is another line there. And again, we'll see who gets mixed in and matched out there. I'm interested in seeing what Patras looks like after he had a very promising start to the year last year and then went down with that injury. He's still dealing with an injury, but he was skating this morning. I'd love to see him out there tonight. I guess we'll see. And in terms of, you know, forwards who have been coming up through the system, not really too many close to cracking that top six. We'll see who gets into the rotation and who performs and all of that. That's exciting stuff in the early going of the season here. And this is a cream puff Montreal Canadiens team too, by the way.
I mean,
this is a team that stunk last year and that you should be able to go out there and play your game against. So that's all on the table here as we get you ready for puck drop. Right across the street over at TD Garden. We're live here at Scores with WEEI Afternoons. We got a lot to get to today. Razor's going to be joining the show at 4:30-ish, I think. He'll be walking over here. We'll be talking with Tommy Curran at 3:30. Also some baseball today. Last night, I should say, anyway. The New York Mets moving on. A lot of teams in the National League spending a lot of money, and wouldn't you know it, the Final Four in the NL, four of the highest spending teams in the majors there with the Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, and Padres. I know the Phillies are out now and that the Padres did have to trim some payroll this past offseason, but you remember all the crazy money they were spending. They had to take out a loan just to stay afloat. Like, that whole thing was wild. So, yeah, we'll have some thoughts on that and what the Red Sox are going to be doing here in this offseason. I still think, Andy Hart, you're being very, very optimistic about that.
I'm a little bit
more skeptical than you are, I would say. Also, we got some thoughts on the latest episode of the Aaron Hernandez show. But as far as Jeremy Swayman's concerned, what are your expectations for him this year? Do you think that this is a guy who you think, and you've said, has never been the main guy.
Yep.
He's not as good as he thinks he is. If that's all true, then you probably don't expect he's going to have much of a year then.
No,
right?
No. I'm actually hopeful that he's going to live up to his own expectations. And I think that's fine. He should be confident. He should be, you know, the NFL corners, the quote, am I an elite quarterback? Am I an elite goalie? Of course you should think you're an elite goalie. If not, I probably don't want you.
But you don't think he's an elite goalie.
No, what I think he hasn't done is proven he's an elite goalie.
Okay.
And that's where we get back. See, it's like your lack of faith in the Red Sox offseason doesn't mean you don't think they are capable of doing it, right? They're right. capable of. You just have doubt as to whether they've done it because they haven't done it recently.
In the past, they've shown that they aren't right. willing to do that. I think more recently, Swayman's shown that he's very good in the playoffs. He yep. was one of the best players in the whole playoffs.
Now he's going to show that he can play a full season as the top goalie, especially if Korpisalo is going to give up 6 goals a game.
Yes.
Because I don't know if I want to see.
No, he was very good, though. I don't know if
he was good,
that.
According to The Athletic. So there's a film breakdown there, the All 22 or whatever the version is in the ice hockey world.
Was there a video of him losing a rebound and then stumbling all over himself to get back and reset himself?
I believe
and
there was.
There a video of that?
There was
know.
A clip with every breakdown of every goal. But okay. no, I am hopeful and even optimistic that Swayman can be that guy. But he has to prove it. He has to go out there and do it on a night-by-night-by-night basis and then do it in the postseason. I mean, the numbers are what they are, right?
Yep.
He's 9-10 or whatever is his career postseason. Like, you're a sub-500 postseason goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes those can be misleading because a lot of series go 4-3-3-4, right?
Right. Play and
a
several of those, he just jumped in at the end of them, and because Tuukka was or whatever. I mean, it was there was a couple of different reasons why he had to come in at the end for injuries or because Ullmark was just so terrible that they had to change it up. But yeah, I mean,
you're expecting him to be a top five goalie.
Yep.
Right. It's as simple as that. And if he's a top five goalie, first of all, that gives them a chance to be a good hockey team, a good playoff contending team. If he isn't, or if there's a slow struggle, because you're right, we're going to hold him to a certain standard based on the first 3 weeks of games. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go crazy if he has a bad first game. Like, it's not ideal. Like, if you go 0-2 on the season and both your goalies kind of stink to start the year, not the way you want to go.
But I feel like it'd be inconsistent if I didn't.
Right.
But I probably will give him a break.
But he also wasn't with the team.
Right.
And was it Neely or Sweeney that was like, you know, every day he's not here, it hurts him and it hurts the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's true. And we're going to see whether that actually shows itself on the ice tonight. But, no, big picture, I expect him to be a top five goalie. I actually expect what you said to become true and that contract to look better and better and better based on his play, and then combine that with the goalie market when we start signing some of these crazy contracts and you go, wow, we're paying him like a kind of average goalie, and he's a lot more than that.
Do you look at the negotiations differently now, seeing what Ullmark signed for, seeing what Shesterkin turned down, seeing sort of how the market's shaping up right now? Do you look at the negotiations differently?
The Ullmark one kind of hit me. Not necessarily turn like the top end of the market,
right.
but the fact that the middle of the market is kind of where you landed, and I think you're higher than that. I think that looks good for the Bruins in the long term.
I think it makes the Bruins look like they may have won in some
which is
ways,
weird.
Won the thing, even though Swayman got the number that he won.
Right.
You know, like, I think that if he had stuck with the 9 and the 10, this wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have come up that far.
No, he
this
wouldn't
would
be
still
here.
Be a stalemate.
Right.
He'd still be holding out. He'd be waiting until December 1st or whatever if he had done that.
And you wouldn't have your shirt on.
That's probably true. Maybe I would have. I don't know. But also, if you had watched Korpisalo go out there and give up 6 goals and everybody has to pretend like that was good, then maybe they would have thought about it or come up to 8-5 or 8-7-5 or, you know, something else. Like, last we heard before he agreed to 8-2-5 was that he was in the high eights, right?
Yep.
That was like the last
or
number
nine.
That we heard that they were at. 9, high eights, that type of thing. And they were able to get the deal done down at 8-2-5, which ends up all being what Ullmark gets, but only half the years. 4 years for Ullmark instead of 8 years for Swayman. And Shesterkin, if you didn't hear that, turned down, reportedly, according to Kevin Weeks, 8 years, $11 million per year. The Pasternak 88 contract, I
yep.
guess, which is, I think, pretty bold on his part to be turning that down. And also, I'm pretty surprised that the Rangers even offered it to him in the first place. They offered him 8 and 11? That's a big offer. And for him to turn it down, I think, tells you that the Bruins... The more it goes on, I mean, yeah, maybe they won the deal. They only had so much money to spend anyway, so it was going to come down to one thing or the other. They got it done. They have about $200,000 in cap
yep.
space left, which, you know, that'll accrue over time as the season goes on. You get closer to the trade deadline, like Scott McLaughlin told us. But, I mean, you know, eventually something was going to have to give there. I think Swayman's going to look back at that, and Louis Gross's agent's going to look back at that and be like, man, we really gave those guys a break.
Probably, because I think we're going to have our next two shows, I'm predicting, are overreaction shows.
Probably.
Friday and Monday.
We're going
to overreact to Swayman tonight.
I guarantee that.
And Monday, we're going to overreact to the quarterback at Foxborough on Sunday. And that's fine. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you believe Swayman, that's all water under the bridge. Like, every answer he had, I'm just happy to be a Bruin long term.
Right.
Right. Like, and I wonder if he is true to that. Because if you start looking at the numbers and start comparing, I think it'll drive him nuts. Honestly, even if he knows he's a businessman, he knows how it works, his best thing to do is say, I got a lot of money. a lot of money, and I'm where I want it to be.
Yep.
And I have security. It's generational money, right? Like, if he starts doing the comp thing and really paying attention to every contract that gets signed, I do think it'll drive him nuts, and I do think he'll be annoyed with his agent.
Yeah, and his agent will be annoyed, too. I mean, that's a less of a cut for him, I would say. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We are live here at Scores on Canal Street, right down the street from the TD Garden, and we'll be here until 6 o'clock. Come on over, say hi, hang out with us, get some Jameson over at the bar there. We're sponsored by Jameson today. We're going to take a quick break. Stiz is going to tell you what's trending, and when we come back, we'll get to the Patriots. Some updates here. The offensive coordinator finally spoke, Alex Van Pelt. Seems like the team's getting their story straight on this Drake May situation. We'll get to that right after Stiz. Get you caught up on what's trending.
It's time to get your flu shot.
Sorry, don't know what just happened there.
Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Hey, all right, that's more like it. All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots back on the practice field today as they get ready for their Week 6 tilt against the Houston Texans on Sunday, kickoff from Gillette Stadium at 1 p.m. Gerard Mayo confirmed yesterday that Drake May will be the starting quarterback moving forward for the Patriots, and offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt feels good about it.
You know, it's like any other week, you're trying to put the best plan together to win the game. Obviously, you know, with the quarterback change, you change a little bit in your approach. I would say that's definitely true. But, you know, excited to get a chance to go out and play on Sunday and try to get us a win at home.
Week 6 in the NFL kicks off tonight with the 49ers in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Kickoff at 8:15 from Lumen Field. You can hear the call of that game right here on WEEI-FM. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30. Or you can download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. The home opener for the Boston Bruins goes down tonight. The Bruins will host the Canadiens. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Causeway Street. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. And if you're near the TD Garden from now until 6 p.m., stop by Scores, hang out with Arcan and Hart, the WEEI Afternoon Show, who are broadcasting live to celebrate the home opener. And in the MLB, the Mets headed to the NLCS for the first time in 9 years after they beat the Phillies 4-1 last night. They'll face the winners of the Padres-Dodgers. That series currently tied at 2 games apiece. The Guardians will take on the Tigers later tonight at 6, and the Yankees will face the Royals later tonight at 8. Trending brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, that was Alex Van Pelt. Speaking to the media today, offensive coordinator for your New England Patriots, saying that he's on board with Drake May. Does that pass the sniff test there,
No,
Andy
it does.
Hart?
It absolutely. No, he's on board with it because he's following his boss's orders.
Well.
But I don't think he voted for Drake May to start this week.
Yeah, he's on board, but they had to, they had to tie him up and put him on the
show. He is, what do they call in the Supreme Court, like the dissenting opinion? He writes the dissenting opinion. He wrote the whole reason why they won the votes, and we have to do this, but I don't believe this is the right thing. There's no doubt. And he didn't do a great job of selling it.
Yeah, I agree.
At all.
You know, he didn't fake it well, I don't think, today. And he spent a whole lot of time talking about how great Brissett was, which I also thought was telling. Like, okay, we get it. Like, you know that this is your guy and that you wanted to sort of make a commitment to him, and you did through 4 or 5 weeks.
That's a commitment.
It didn't work. I mean, that's enough of a commitment that I don't think he needs to feel bad, or that anybody who was, you know, pro Brissett going out there should feel bad. Brissett feels bad, fine. And he said today is the hardest thing ever, getting benched like that. And that's, you know, for him, it probably is. That may be the last time he's ever a starter in the NFL. I understand that. He's been in the league a long time. But in terms of the decision-making, that sounded like a group and the dissenter in the group trying to go along to get along and everybody getting their story straight, and is what that sounded like to me.
You gave Jacoby Brissett, a journeyman middle-of-the-career backup, longer than the number one overall pick a year ago was given.
Right.
Way longer. way longer than what Carolina gave a franchise-altering draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that tells you the commitment they made. And then you look at all the numbers, the offense, the win, like, everything that went into it. Other than praising him for – which I give Gerard Mayo credit. I think Gerard has been really honest. He praised him for his toughness
yep.
and getting up, basically. He didn't try to blow smoke up your butt and tell you, oh, he did this, he did – nope, nope. He's a tough guy. I respect him for his ability to get up. The average guy wouldn't have gotten up. And that's really what he did well through the first five games of this season. But even Jacoby Brissett, you didn't see this coming at all? I mean, he told us on Monday he didn't see it coming.
Right.
Like, he had no doubt in his mind that he was still starting.
But he also said, I know that they drafted him third overall, and I hear what people are saying. And he sort of knew what. It's not like he's not ignorant, you know? Like, he knows
what's
going on.
So then why is it so hard?
Because it's a moment in his career. This is probably him looking at his career and thinking, all right, this is probably the last time I'm going to get this opportunity. It didn't go well for me, and that's
no,
hard.
Didn't.
I understand that. I mean, that makes sense.
I get that it's hard, but the hardest thing, like, the hardest thing is when something is unexpected, really, to me, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he have seen this coming?
Definitely.
Especially if we are to believe everything we're hearing. Now Marcus Jones is detailing pass plays that he thought he had covered and Drake May fitted in there. Well, Jacoby Brissett's on the practice field, right? So he sees himself on the game field
yep.
and how badly it's gone, and he sees Drake May on the practice field and how it's trending in a positive direction, and he's still stunned this week? I mean, seems like he's a little, opposite of naive. Or,
yeah.
No, I guess naive that he was going to hold
right
on to the job.
Here. Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I don't think he was promised anything more than this. I don't think that they told him, yeah, you're going to be the QB all year, no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, we're going to stick with you
no.
come hell or high water. They didn't tell him that, and if they did and then they went back on it, then fine. Yeah, that's tough, and I could see yeah. him being upset by that, but I cannot imagine that that was something that they ever promised or even implied that they would promise them.
But I just, from the Van Pelt perspective, I support the decision. Well, you better support it now with your efforts, your
yep.
work, like, because this is on him to change this offense. It's not just Drake May come in, we're gonna do the exact same game plans. There's opportunities here for Alex Van Pelt, who, by the way, much like Jacoby Brissett, your career is kind of dangling in the breeze here a little
yeah.
bit. You have not done, despite what your boy Dan Olavsky tried to tell us, you have not done a good job through the first five games of the season, and now you have more talent to work with.
Who
you
did
have
a better job, Van Pelt or Corposalo? who was more excellent, would you say, in their openers?
I mean, I read Fluto, and he kind of brainwashed me, so I guess I got to go with Corposalo.
Okay.
Because I don't think anybody other, even Orlovsky didn't really do a great job trying to sell that the scheme and the play calling was good at
well, it stood
point.
Out because he's the only one who's ever said that. He's the
right.
only one I've ever heard say anything close to that.
But so. He also moved on quickly. He goes,
right.
and there's been times when I kind of like he was lukewarm in his support
yeah.
of Van Pelt, kind of like Van Pelt was lukewarm in his support of Drake May's
yeah.
time is now. But it doesn't matter what he thinks. Now he needs to put his opinion away and take the athletic, strong-armed young quarterback and change this offense for the better. Because I do think there's opportunities here to change this offense for the better athletically with his feet, the zone reads, and some of the things that I think, especially, by the way, I don't know if you read the injury report, it looks like Ramondre Stevenson not spotted on the field by reporters.
Yeah, Duggar was there today. Duggar was out yesterday. No Stevenson again today. Which,
that's not ideal.
One more day, and he's not playing. I mean, that's, we know that, right?
And if I'm Drake May and you're telling me I have Antonio Gibson, Jermichael Hasty, and maybe Kevin Harris called up from the practice squad. That's not everybody's bitching about the offensive line and the weapons.
Right.
Now the people behind me who are supposed to be the heartbeat of the offense and the foundation of the offense aren't going to be very good. So
maybe May's just going to run around a lot, you know?
He's going to run around.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be all designed. I think he's going to be running around a lot.
Well,
sometimes for his life.
That brings up Alex Van Pelt's role in this now, and we've discussed this. Is he going to readjust this offense? Is this going to be a new offense for Drake May? Is it going to try and highlight what May does well as opposed to what things Jacoby Brissett allegedly does well? You know, like, is this going to just be Van Pelt trying to bring a kid along, or is there going to be a real adjustment here and a real focus on trying to maximize what he's good at?
Well, some of it is, I think, built into the system already. Like, I think those boot plays are good for Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better for Drake May than they were for Jacoby Brissett. So I think you'll see some of those wide zone boots. I do think you'll see some zone reads. And if it's Antonio Gibson, it's Antonio Gibson. Whoever the running back is at the mesh point, whatever. But as a defender, you have to respect that Drake May can run. He did run, in, especially down in the red zone. What do you have, 22 career touchdowns,
yeah.
I think, at North Carolina. So he becomes a factor that you need to deal with as a runner, especially in the red zone. And I think you have to take advantage of that. Even if it's a decoy, even if it's, you know, six times out of seven or a give, if he can, you know, pop one on the seventh time,
yep,
there's value in that. And then I also think he throws a much better deep ball. So when they choose to take some shot plays, I think he will take shots. I think he will get the ball down the field, both in his mentality. I think he's probably going to be more aggressive because I think Jacoby Brissett's whole plan was to not turn the ball over,
right,
not make mistakes. I don't
– Not try and fit in small windows,
nope,
not make
nothing.
Risky throw, never, ever do that.
And
right?
If you heard it yesterday, Drake May said, my job is to go out there and make plays. Like, and it sounds simple, but I don't think Brissett thought that was his job. I don't think he thought his job was to go out there and make plays. I think Drake May says, I'm going out there to make plays, so I'm going to try to fit it in. I'm going to give Javon Baker or Jalen Polk a chance to make a play.
I'll throw a 50-50 ball.
Right, and trust my guy to go get it and trust my arm to put it in a place where maybe it's not 50-50. Maybe it's a 60-40 ball. Like, I give my guy a chance.
Yeah, Devontae Parker's not here to make it 80-20.
Thank God Devontae Parker is not here to make it 80-20 for
remember
the defense.
That? Remember what
yes.
he said?
Yes, it was one of the dumber things that's ever been
brother.
Said. That was much like when Mohamed Sanu said he was both the juice and the squeeze because
right.
he was going to be this great thing, and he was not.
By the way, Mohamed Sanu's name has been floating all around lately based on what Bill Belichick said about Devontae Adams. By the way, we are here at Scores on Canal Street. This show is brought to you today by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins, with Jameson Black Barrel and Jameson Orange specialty cocktails. We'll get to that sound from Bill Belichick and some other things that we've heard from Belichick proxies. Mike Lombardi with some thoughts.
Why do we still need Belichick proxies? He's literally in the media. He has like 17 podcasts.
Right, and he needs co-hosts on his podcast.
He's not a coach anymore, so he can say whatever the hell he wants. He should kind of like when he took the pot shot at Mayo. I'm not sure what the plan is. I'm sure they probably have a plan. Wonder what he thinks about the plan this week.
That's a good point, yeah.
But he doesn't need proxies anymore. Just say it, Bill. You're a big boy. You're a big, big boy with a lot of success. You can say whatever the hell you want. If you don't like what they're doing, say you don't like what they're doing.
It just goes to show that if you kiss up to a guy long enough, eventually he'll make you the two chair on his podcast. Eventually. On one of his podcasts. There's like several podcasts, but now
wait, but who's – is that how I got here? I'm the two chair on the show.
You never kissed my ass. I don't ever remember that
That's
happening.
That's true.
I kissed
Ken's ass.
Right over my
head. It was Ken's ass I was kissing for so long.
Well, there
Thanks,
you go.
Ken.
You're welcome. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. And pretty exciting night in Major League Baseball last night. We'll touch on that next. The New York Mets. How about that? Christian Arkey and Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons. We are live at Scores here on Canal Street. Show today brought to you by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins, with Jameson Black Barrel and Jameson Orange Specialty Cocktail. Come on over here and order one. We got some seats at the bar for you, and that's where we are. Usually they put us upstairs. Today we're right down here, right in prime time, down in the first floor, and looking forward to hanging out with you here as we get ready for the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens right up the street here at TD Garden. That all happened last night in Flushing, New York, or Queens, or wherever City Field is now. I'm not even sure. As the New York Mets come away with a 3-1 series win over the Philadelphia Phillies, grand slam that you just heard from Lindor right there, as the Mets going to the NLCS, where they will face the winner of the Dodgers and the Padres. Some pretty exciting baseball last night, I think, all around. That was a good series, too, with that that game two in particular. The one the Phillies won was a good game, and there's been some good playoff baseball here that the Red Sox just aren't a part of because, well, we know why. But this is now, as you look at the Final Four in the league here, as you get down to the end of this or shaping up, the Final Four in the National League, Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, Padres. What all four of those teams have in common?
Chut and Ching.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Over in the American League, not quite so much. It's Yankees, Cleveland.
Well, Yankees.
Kansas City and Detroit. The Yankees are top spenders. Those other teams aren't really. And that almost makes me more angry about this whole situation. Like, you could have – the Blue Jays spent a lot of money but didn't really allocate it very well. Houston spent a lot of money, just missed the playoffs at the end there. Or they didn't miss the playoffs. They were in and lost. But, like, you could have absolutely spent your way into these playoffs. I think that this is clear to me right now. You could have spent your way into the postseason here. Maybe it wouldn't have lasted very long. And that's, you know, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. But to not even make it, when so many teams are making it into the playoffs here, and it seems like most of them are spending money in order to do so, that train has just left you behind.
No question. It has left you previously behind.
Yep.
The future may be different, and I know we might at some point get to the Craig Breslow chatting with our boy Brad Foe about, again, sort of hopeful and optimistic approach to the offseason and spending. It's funny because the Mets are last year they spent too much and kind of gave up on, like, you know, that was right. The whole thing. They overspent, get nothing out of it, and now they're still spending, and they're, you know,
one total payroll in the majors, $317 million. The Yankees are second at 309, then Houston 255, Philadelphia, who just got knocked out at 247, Dodgers at 241. The Red Sox are down there 11th in payroll at 190.
And doesn't then even feel like they're that high.
It doesn't, really. It doesn't.
That's what sucks about
there's
it.
There's a lot of dead money, too. I mean, there's a lot of
well,
other
there's
stuff
dead
there.
Money, and there's just, like, bad money.
Yeah.
Yoshida's making, what, $18 million
right.
a year?
Yeah.
Trevor Story's $20 million a year. You have some money that is – you paid for Chris Sale to win the Cy Young Award in Atlanta. So, you know, there's misspent money as well there, but –
Atlanta spent a lot too, $236 million. They're sixth in payroll. So, I mean, most in the National League, every single one of these teams
right.
made it.
And I like
spent
it.
Spent their way into it, and that's what you have to do.
Because there's been years where it was a more balanced postseason, and there were teams that hadn't spent, and it was more the build through your own and, like, lower payrolls and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I like, as the Boston Red Sox, you look at that and say, oh, yeah, if we spend, we might actually go deep into the playoffs. And forget deep into the playoffs. How about just have some of the moments we've been seeing with
yeah.
the Mets? Like just or last night I'm watching Kansas City and you see Patrick Mahomes jumping around in the box and
yeah.
like
that
just
cool.
that postseason energy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's fun. Remember when we used to have that?
I do remember
fun?
That.
Like
yeah.
there is a buzz in postseason baseball that is unique. It's unique to the sport. And
especially with big fan bases,
yes.
you know, like engaged fan bases, which the Red Sox, if you would engage with the team and the roster and the payroll, you would have that. And you did have that. And Kennedy
yep.
talks about it all the time. Oh, it's freaking electric out there. Like, he talks about that stuff. Like, it happens every year. It doesn't happen every year. It hasn't happened in a few years now, and the reason is because you're kind of neglecting this roster. And I think that that's the most frustrating part about it. We all know what he's talking about. We all love that stuff. The Red Sox fans will engage. They will become that fan base, and they will give you those moments. But you got to get there. It's just that
right.
you can't get there.
You got to ignite. You have to pour a little lighter fluid on to start the fire. And like, last night, that triple that the Royals hit. And then Mahomes is bouncing around, or
yeah.
the Lindor home run, or even because you just never know when it's going to come. It builds to that point, and then it's like you can feel it. Even if you're at home, you can feel it. You jump out your seat or whatever, you're watching with a couple other people,
mm-hmm.
or you're in a bar like Scores and enjoying it with a crowd, not necessarily in the ballpark. There is a little jealousy right now, I think, in Red Sox Nation when you're looking around Major League Baseball and you're like, yeah. What's the reason again why we can't take part in that? What's the reason again why we can't do things like that? And the answer is there is no reason.
Right.
There
yeah.
is absolutely no reason you shouldn't be taking part in this. Or at least get us to the point where we're a disappointment. Get us to the Mets last year.
Yeah.
Right? The Mets were a disappointment last year after spending. We don't even have that. We just have the disappointment of, oh, you didn't really spend. You didn't really do anything at the trade deadline to be aggressive.
Right.
Remember when we were dreaming of Pete Alonso hitting home runs in the postseason
sure
for the
do.
Red Sox?
Absolutely.
And now he's hitting home runs in the postseason for the Mets, who
yep.
kept him.
Yeah, 100%. I saw they cut away. There was two people dressed like Grimace about to make out, and they cut away from him right before that magical moment happened, which I was a little disappointed by.
Two Grimaces?
Yeah, that's like the
like
Mets
the purple
thing,
guy?
The purple guy from
but
McDonald's.
Were they actually in the costumes?
They were actually in the costumes.
And how'd you know they were going to make out?
Well, because they were getting real close.
Oh.
And then all
I've
sudden,
never seen two Grimaces make out.
They
I can honestly
away.
Say.
I haven't either, and I thought we were going to, and we didn't, and I'm a little disappointed. But, yeah,
you're
that's
excited?
The type of stuff that we're just not getting here in Boston. And, by the way, when you talk about the way these seasons end, you can have an exciting pennant race. You haven't even gotten that. You just fall
Correct.
Apart every year in the second half. August, September come by, and you're done. I mean, that's, you know, like you may still be in it mathematically for a little bit, but you can see the team quitting. You can see these guys giving up. You can see everybody sort of throwing their hands up and just saying, you know, it's not our year. And it didn't work out at the deadline or whatever. It just, you know, we'll on to next year, and hopefully our young players will come save us next season. It's always the same crap, and it's like, you know, like that's even if you're not going to make the playoffs, if you have a fun playoff push down the stretch and come up short, I'll even take that.
And you even mentioned that fans in Red Sox Nation have shown the ability, they'll give you that. Well, I think they've tried to buy into this team and its lackluster
yeah.
performance the last couple summers. Like,
100%.
They've tried to talk themselves into, oh, we're only 2.5 out of the third wild card, and there's only one team. Like, and they wanted to be engaged. They wanted to be excited. And as we all know, it just hasn't, there's been no fruit on that tree.
No.
Back to my tree.
No,
no fruit
is
on
not.
The tree.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Jake is in Boston. He has a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Jake.
What's going on, boys?
Hey,
I have finally come around. I am looking forward to the weekend. It will be like a human Hunger Games watching Drake try to not die.
Oh.
If I am his... Well, listen, that's what it is, given the offensive line here. you know, if I'm his beautiful girlfriend, I'm looking into the life insurance policy and seeing what she's getting as opposed to the parents. Anyhow, a little bit of trivia for you. How many home games have the Patriots won the last 2 years?
One.
How many multi-million dollar anti-hate campaigns has your owner put out there?
One.
Two.
What was the other
one? New one came out today.
I knew about the one today. What was the other one?
I thought it was all tied together, the blue square.
Timeout, right. Thank you for the call, Jake, the timeout thing.
But isn't that related to the blue square? Isn't it kind of one continuous organization?
I don't know if it's one continuous thing. The only problem I have with the timeout, it's like a timeout for hate.
Yeah, with Shaq and like a lot of famous
people.
Yeah,
and everybody's doing the timeout.
Supposedly it's big tonight in Thursday Night Football. It'll be sort of unveiled.
So, good. But did anyone not want to stand up in the meeting and say, hey, guys, if you call a timeout,
you go
that
back
means
to
it's
it?
Going to resume eventually, right?
Seconds.
Like after the timeout's over, then what? Like,
give me a coach's timeout. A quick
you know, how about we just end it instead of calling a timeout? How about we just that's the end of it? Like, wouldn't that make more sense than calling timeout on hate because that means hate is just timeout? You know,
and so you would have liked kind of like the final whistle.
Do you
the final whistle?
Something like that, sure.
Do you want Kraft's explanation for it? He said, in sports, we call it timeout when things are heading in the wrong direction. Right now in our country, hate is winning, and we need to change the momentum.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's like the other team's winning. You're calling a timeout, trying to regroup and beat. Hey, I guess I get it, but you also hear what I'm saying, right?
I think you're overthinking it.
I probably am overthinking it, I guess.
I think you're overthinking it.
That's very common. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, the Bruins roster. Is Don Sweeney maybe on the hot seat a little bit? Is anyone on the hot seat? Ooh. And Jim Montgomery, are we a fan of his or not? He's a lame duck coach here going into this season. What do we think is going to happen there? We'll get to all that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.